What is the single most avoidable risk factor for breast cancer? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program, Janet Morena. Our Associate Director is with us, and Janet also co-founded the Silent No More Awareness Campaign. Janet, a lot has been said about the link between abortion and breast cancer. Right. And what we always say is, if you're concerned about the health and well-being of women, then you're going to want to take an honest look at what abortion does to the health and well-being of women. And there are numerous studies, nationally and internationally, as you know, that demonstrate that abortion is the single most avoidable risk factor for developing breast cancer. Now, that's what the studies show. Whatever a person thinks about pro-life, pro-choice is one thing. But doesn't honesty require that people on both sides of the issue take a look at what the studies actually say?
That's right. And we're not just talking about one or two studies saying there's a risk factor. In the United States alone, 13 out of 15 studies have shown that abortion is definitely a risk factor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I was a woman, first of all, I wouldn't consider an abortion. But if I was that kind of person, I certainly would want to know, what are all the risk factors? Let's face it, any other surgery that you have, your doctor sits and discusses the potential risk factors. And you know that going into the surgery. Why is it with abortion that they will not discuss these risk factors?
And, of course, as society focuses in on breast cancer and says, you know, let's have efforts for cures and let's try, you know, obviously we have to look for the cures and we have to look for the causes.
That's right.
Therefore, let's not neglect what studies are saying about abortion as a cause. We're going to hear from somebody who knows this from firsthand experience, aren't we?
That's right. We're going to hear in a few minutes from Charnette Massey, and she is a breast cancer survivor, but also had an abortion.
Right.
And she's part of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, where she publicly gives her testimony, and we had her on a guest previously on Gospel of Life. So let's hear from Charnette right now.
I was 20 years old, and I never thought that I would enter an abortion facility. At least I hoped I would not have. And I remember the day I went home and I told my boyfriend at the time that I was pregnant. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you going to have an abortion?" And when he said that, that's when I knew that he was not going to be the one to marry me and to take care of me and our baby. And so he took me to the abortion facility.
Well, how did that make you feel when he asked you that question?
Was I going to have an abortion? It made me feel cheap. It made me feel like my dream of having a home, of having a family, was gone, that I was not going to have that with him.
What did you want him to say?
I want him to say, "I love you, I want to marry you, and I want to raise our child." That's what I wanted him to say.
So then you had the abortion.
Yes, I did, and it was a very dramatic experience. I stood online, and I like to tell this part of my story because it was so weird. It's like every time I watch a movie from the Holocaust, I start crying because that's kind of like what my situation was. I went into this room, and there was a bunch of women just standing online, just waiting to enter this room where we were taking our babies to death. And at the time, my stomach was so flat, so I didn't really realize that I was getting ready to kill my child. You know, I just thought, like they told me, it was just tissue. It was just a glob of tissue. It could feel no pain. That's what they told me. And I always remember the woman, I shouldn't even say woman, because she looked like she was at least 15 years old. She was about 6 or 7 months pregnant. You could see the child in her womb because her stomach was so big. And I said, "My gosh, this woman, she's killing her child." And never forget that. And then I'll never forget waking up and this woman standing over me saying, you know, that you're fine, you're going to be okay. And then she set me down and she gave me a cup of tea and 2 Tylenol. And she said, "This will help you with your pain." And I never knew, looking back now, how much pain I was really, really going to be in for the rest of my life.
So you had that abortion and then basically you kind of stuffed it down, right? You kind of blocked it out.
Yes, I did. It's like I never had an abortion. That's what got me through it, too, because I said, as I was on this line, I kept saying, I can't believe I'm here. I don't believe I'm here. I don't believe this has happened to me. And I kept saying, well, I'm just, you know, this has never happened. I never told anyone. I never told anyone. I just kept it to myself. And I justify it by saying, well, I'm pro-choice. It's my body. And, you know, I'm pro-choice. And I told one civilian doctor one time, and I say that because I'm a Navy wife and my husband's an officer in the military. And, you know, to come out as a Navy wife and say, oh, I've had an abortion, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. So I told one civilian person, and he told me, oh, you never have to tell anyone because it's not, you know, it doesn't contribute to the pain that you're having right now. And I'm talking about the physical pain that I went through after my abortion.
Mm-hmm. So you obviously, then, like you said, you went on, you married, and you had a child, right? Gabriella, and she's about 6 years old now.
Yeah.
But then what happened? You became pregnant, like, again? And when did you kind of face your abortion?
Well, I did not face my abortion until I was forced to face it. And even getting pregnant with Gabrielle, I mean, I want to make sure I say this. I basically lost my fertility after my abortion. It was not easy for me to get pregnant, and I didn't even know I was pregnant with Gabrielle until I begged my husband to take me to the doctor because I wasn't feeling well, and then the pregnancy test came back positive. But I had had a surgery for infertility before then. So it really, that wasn't an easy pregnancy with Gabby. And then my second pregnancy, lo and behold, comes after being diagnosed with breast cancer at the age of 31 years old. And so the point I want to get across is that I lost my health the day I took the life of my child. I lost my fertility. And I had to have two surgeries for infertility before I found out I was pregnant with either child, even with my son. And then I get this huge diagnosis on top of everything else. And then that's what made me realize. And I knew that it was my abortion that took away my health and that contributed to the fact that I am now and had been 31 years old with breast cancer.
Now, in one of your testimonies in with the Silent No More Awareness campaign, you said this. You said, my breast cancer gave me the courage to love my dead child.
Yes, it did.
Explain to us what you mean by that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, breast cancer is the best gift I could have ever been given. And I love the fact that I have breast cancer and that I have lost my left breast. Because if I did not, I don't think that I would have ever been able to love the child that I lost to abortion. And I love my baby, and I miss my baby, and I'm so glad that I can pray for my child with my daughter now, and she prays for her baby sister, she calls her all the time. And, you know, I mean, because it took away the fact that I felt like I had to be silent, and I was dying in silence until I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it was like breast cancer gave me freedom to speak and to speak up and to speak out and say, look, this is what I did with my body, and this is where I am right now.
When you were diagnosed with breast cancer, I believe you found out you were pregnant, and it was almost like the next day.
It was.
you found out you also had breast cancer. I mean, this is a lot. And what was the doctor's advice to you at that time? I mean, because now you're telling the doctor, well, I'm pregnant, and he tells you you have breast cancer. There must be a protocol of treatment he wants to do.
Right.
What was the medical advice given to you?
Well, it's funny, and this has been my life since the abortion, is that it's been hard for me to get pregnant to begin with. And before, with the second pregnancy with my son, I had surgery for infertility, so I didn't even know that I could get pregnant. Again, I had to have this surgery, lost another part of, you know, my body. And so the doctors were all telling me, don't even think about getting pregnant. What they told me was, I went in for my mammogram, not thinking anything. And then I get this huge diagnosis, and I said, wait a minute, I have a 3-year-old daughter at home. Am I going to get to see her grow up? And they said, possibly not. So then I go to Yale, where they tell me to go with all, you know, these experts, and they tell me, don't even think about getting pregnant. Don't even think about ever having another child. Well, the next day I go to the doctor because I'm not feeling well because of this big diagnosis, and I find out I'm pregnant. And I'm just like, I can't believe it. And I knew instantly that this was a gift from God, that my child was a gift from God. And my doctors immediately, my personal doctors, they said, well, we don't know all the facts yet, but they did everything that they could, each one of my doctors, to save my child and my life. And in my there is no reason that I see why a woman would ever have to give up her child for her life.
So you received treatment for the breast cancer while going through pregnancy.
Yes, I did.
And then the child born was healthy.
Yes. Yes.
And when you say treatment, you went through chemotherapy while you were pregnant?
Yes, I did in my second trimester. And there's a huge article right now in People magazine about breast cancer and pregnancy and how you do not have to give up your life for your child, and you do not have to give up your child to save your own life.
Now, Charnette, do you see your breast cancer as linked to your abortion?
Of course I do. And I've said it again and again and again, and I will continue to say it, and that is the biggest message that I want everyone in this world to know. I took birth control pills, I had an abortion, and here I am, here I was at the age of 31 years old with breast cancer. I mean, what else could it have been? It was that.
And there was no history of breast cancer now in your family,
no,
correct?
No, there's not.
I mean, because a lot of people say, well, maybe there was something, your mother, right, other sisters, aunts, no one. No history of breast cancer in your family.
No history.
Of course, as we know, this is more than just your own opinion. Scientific studies nationally and internationally the link between.
I have found a study that is identical to my pathology report.
Oh, really?
Yes, I have. And I even called the physician who did it. I emailed him, and he agreed with me. There are so many physicians who agree with me, but it's kind of like my husband. If you speak up, if you tell the truth, I mean, there's so many people that just don't want the truth out there.
Yeah.
And
well, you mentioned your husband. Now, he has a testimony of his own.
Yes,
and tell us in a nutshell how he stood up for life and for truth in his own profession.
You know, I admire my husband. He's a young Navy physician, and he does not prescribe birth control pills. And, you know, unfortunately, they tried really hard. There was just one individual in the military, too, I would say, who just didn't like the fact that he would not prescribe and tried to ruin his career. And he stood his ground. He stood his ground and said, I'm not going to prescribe. And especially seeing what happened to his wife, you know, and he just is not going to go against his Catholic faith, and he's just not going to do it. And he loves life, and he defends life, and he stands up for it.
Charnette, you mentioned, though, back when you first had your abortion, for many, many years, you considered yourself pro-choice. You know, and part of it was you stuffed that abortion way down and you felt it's a woman's right to choose. What helped you change? Was it when you got the breast cancer and you came to grips with the fact that you had killed your other the baby? Or what helped you really be say, well, you can sit here now and say, I'm 100% pro-life and I want women not to choose abortion. What helped kind of give you that complete conversion?
I've wanted to say this before. My husband helped me a lot to change. You know, my husband believes in his oath that he took as a physician to do no harm. And one day I was standing in the kitchen, and, you know, I'm still believing in my I'm pro-choice. And he showed me a photograph of an aborted baby. And I cried that whole entire day. I said, I could not believe that this is what they do to babies. This is what they did to my child. And to the child that was the woman who was behind me on that line and all those other women on that line. And I knew, and I still couldn't speak until the day I was diagnosed with breast cancer and they told me that I was not going to see my daughter grow up. And I immediately thought, justice, my life for the life that I took. And I was in a CAT scan machine holding a picture of Gabby and praying and saying, God, if I have to die, please give me another child so I could see, so that Gabby wouldn't be alone. And so then when I found out I was pregnant the day after being diagnosed with the breast cancer, I knew. I said, okay, God, why would you send me a baby, you know, at this point in my life? And I said to myself, I got it. And then my son was born premature. He came into this world at 30 weeks gestation, 3 pounds and 2 ounces. And ironically, I looked at my son and I said, my gosh, you remind me of somebody. And he was the same weight and gestational age as the baby in the picture that my husband had showed me of the child who was aborted.
Wow.
And that's when I knew. I said, oh my gosh, I have to stand up for every single child in this world. And that's when I knew. And I have to speak up and tell my story so that women will know what I have been through, so that they don't have to go through what I have gone through. And that's why I tell my story. That's why I hope and I pray that women will listen to me so that they don't just have to sit in front of someone someday and hear that you're not going to see your child grow up. And they don't have to miss the child that they whose life they took, that you have the right to love your child. If you aborted your child, you have the right to love the child that you lost.
How have your friends responded to your now very public sharing of your abortion testimony?
My friends, that's when you know you have a good friend, when they're still your friend, when you speak up. And they've been wonderful. They really have.
Well, you spoke in front of the Supreme Court, as we've already mentioned, in this Silent No More Awareness campaign. We would like to share with our viewers a short clip of part of your testimony on that occasion. It was the anniversary of the tragic Roe v. Wade decision. What year is the one we're about to see?
It was the first gathering in 2003.
Okay, let's take a look at that clip.
I love this scar. I love it. I love the fact that I don't have two breasts anymore. That I was 31 years old when a doctor told me that I may not see my beautiful 3-year-old daughter grow up. I love the scar, and do you know why I love the scar? I love it because it gave me the courage that I needed to love my dead child.
Well, thank you, Charnette, for sharing your testimony. And obviously, we have two additional guests on our set. Would you introduce them to us?
Yes, this is Gabrielle, and she's 6 years old. And this is Christian, and he is 3 years old.
And when you were pregnant with Christian, that was when you told us about before, right?
Yes, exactly. This is my little boy, and I hope that you can look at him and see he's healthy, he's beautiful, and... You know, and we've both been through so much together, and he's alive, and this is what you get, and there's no way that I would have given up my son, and I just hope that women can take a look at him, and, you know, and if you are post-abortive, just know that you have the right to love your child. You have the right. I named my child. I named my child Sarah Eve. Sarah Eve Massey.
Sarah Eve, the one who was aborted.
Yes, I did.
Now, just to recap, you know, you had just found out you were expecting Christian when you got the diagnosis of the breast cancer. And so you went through chemotherapy.
Yes, I did.
During, what was it, your second trimester?
I started in my second trimester, which they have found is safe to do in your second trimester with certain chemo agents. And he's fine.
Yeah. He was perfectly healthy. And I bet there were other medical professionals that were kind of counseling you to have an abortion.
There were some, not my immediate team, but there were some people who kind of thought I was out of my mind, who thought I was crazy. Yeah. You know, they kind of said, well, you already have a child. And there is no medical data that I could find that would say that I would have lived any longer had I given up my child. And I think I would have died just from knowing that I'd lost a second child.
Yeah. Well, you know, Father, I think people hearing Charnette's story and also the fact that she went through her pregnancy, you know, even though people were saying have another abortion now, when she knew she was having another baby, because of that abortion experience, she said, no. I mean, what an inspiration that she went through chemotherapy and delivered Christian, healthy, normal, fine. You know, I hope anyone watching right now that knows someone who just got some sort of serious diagnosis and they're pregnant, please do not listen to these doctors that are pushing abortion on you. Tell them what you heard about Charnette's story, and that might give you the courage to maybe seek a different doctor's opinion and get
some
more help.
And we can even connect them with pro-life maternal-fetal medicine experts at our gospelofoflife.com website.
Right.
Now, Charnette, of course, is one of many who have experienced this. And, you know, when we say abortion is a risk for breast cancer, we don't mean that everybody who gets breast cancer should be suspected of having had an abortion.
No,
there are other causes as
that's
well.
Right.
The point, though, is we can't ignore the role abortion plays. And in order to help people understand this risk, we have a booklet that we're willing to send them.
Yeah, it's the Abortion Breast Cancer Prevention booklet, and it's a wonderful booklet because it clearly does it in layman's terms, not heavily scientific that you get confused. We'll send that to them. They just have to contact us at Gospel of Life.
Yes.
There's also a website they can go to where they can read some of this research and all these other facts. And the latest thing's up there called abortionbreastcancer.com.
Yes.
And particularly now during the month of October, when everyone's trying to raise money to support breast cancer, some of these very organizations that are doing breast cancer research also support Planned Parenthood. So what they're doing is supporting the very thing that creates a risk factor.
Well, thanks, Janet. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Stay tuned now for our action segment.
There's nothing wrong with your television set. You don't see anything because there's nothing there. Abortion, the most common surgery in America. Why don't we ever see what it looks like? A message from Priests for Life.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares. You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are silent no more.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
Welcome to our action segment. PoliticalResponsibility.org is the website we want to talk about during this segment. And Janet, that has three very important avenues for activity for our viewers between now and Election Day.
That's right. And, of course, the first thing is something that everybody can do, whether you can get out and participate in helping with a campaign or you're homebound or elderly or whatever your state in life, it's prayer. Prayer is the one thing we can all jump on board and do. And even young people who are too young to vote yet, they can be involved in the prayer campaign.
The prayer campaign, to which there is a link on politicalresponsibility.org as soon as you go to that site, and it has a prayer that we've composed for our national elections that we're asking people to pray each and every day. They can download the prayer from that website, and on that website they can indicate to us that they're committed to say it.
That's right. And, of course, and prayer always leads to the next thing, which is take some action. Because once you've prayed about something, it usually naturally leads you, let's do something about it.
Yes. And on politicalresponsibility.org, we have a an online form that people can fill out if they want to volunteer for various election-related activities. That form, once they fill it out, will give us an indication of what they would like to do. And then our staff will communicate with them to give them ideas and resources and even to connect them with some local groups that can help them carry out those activities.
That's right, and because in these coming weeks, right before such a key election that we have this year, so much is at stake still. We need to know who's willing to help, especially in that last 72 hours, to distribute literature, help inform people door-to-door. Well, you can't decide in the 72 hours, I want to help. We need to know now. Who are the people that are willing to make themselves available? Maybe take the day off for Election Day. All that planning has to happen now, and then you send the troops out into battle. So we really want people who will make themselves available to get in the fight to go up and fill out that form and let us know.
Even if they can only give a little bit of time.
That's
no
right.
Amount of time is too small.
No. Even if you can say, well, I only have about an hour during those 3 days that I can help, that's all we need. Just tell us what hours, and we'll put you in touch with the people.
Or starting right now with letters to the editor and various things that they can post on the Internet and things like that. Well, at politicalresponsibility.org, then we have the prayer campaign, we have the volunteer sign-up form, and then we have information about our key educational piece that we're sending out this year. Tell people about it.
Well, you know, very often people say, well, when I go into that voting booth, I want to be a Christocrat. I want to do as Christ would do, vote in a very biblical way. We have a great resource called Voting with a Clear Conscience. And this was 10 steps, 10 points that will help you discern ahead of time that you are doing the right thing when you get into the voting booth.
Voting with a Clear Conscience is a booklet I wrote that can be distributed in churches and by churches and through any tax-exempt organization. And at the beginning of the book, we have printed there the letter from legal experts, Jim Bopp and his associates, some of the nation's top experts in tax law and what tax-exempt groups can do, saying that this booklet is perfectly clear. They give it a green light for being distributed by churches. There's no threat to the tax exemption because the book does not name candidates. It doesn't endorse candidates. It gives principles, just like the title says, of voting with a clear conscience so that you can go into the voting booth and then come back out again and know that you've done your very best in the sight of God to do what's right in terms of electing our leaders.
Well, you know, in the last few election cycles, Christians have we've all shown up because of the key issues, both life and family. And we just need them to do that more than ever, because there's still so much at stake out there that we need everyone participating. If they do, we will continue advancing the culture of life.
Well, thanks, Janet, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for being people of action. Now, if you take this website, politicalresponsibility.org, and you see the three things that we've mentioned, the prayer campaign, the educational booklet, and the volunteer form, then take yet another step and bring this, bring as many people to this website as you can by making a link to it on your website, or by sending out a link to it in your email. Publish it in your newsletter. Everything you can possibly do, this ultimately will benefit you and your community and the local activity that you want to see fostered within your parish, within your diocese, within your pro-life groups. PoliticalResponsibility.org. It's tailored for people of all denominations, or even if a person is not particularly religious. If they're concerned about the way our country is going to go in the elections, PoliticalResponsibility.org is something that they are going to want to know about. And I thank you for all that you can do to make that happen. God bless you.
Happy birthday.
The decision to have an abortion not only affects that moment in your life.
Kristen Gordon.
It affects many precious moments to come.
I now pronounce you man and wife.
Please remember, where there's life, there's hope. A message from Priests for Life.
Suppose a candidate said, "I support terrorism." Would you even bother to ask his position on other issues? Support of terrorism disqualifies him from consideration. So it is with one who supports abortion. That, too, is the taking of innocent human life, and support for abortion should disqualify a candidate from consideration. This is Father Frank Pavone.
It's positive. I'm pregnant.
My boyfriend panicked.
And I was worried what my family would say.
I just didn't know what to do.
If you're facing an unplanned pregnancy, you have options. You don't have to be alone. Call 1-800-395-HELP. Our services are totally confidential and free. If you're pregnant, call now. There is help.
Friends, as we conclude our program, may I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell other people about Gospel of Life. Tell them when these programs air so that they can tune in and learn more about the pro-life movement. Secondly, we like to hear from you. On our website, gospeloflife.com, you can even send us your prayer requests, and our entire ministry team will be more than happy to lift up your concerns and intentions before the throne of God. Thirdly, we're eager and ready to come to your community, to preach in your churches, to gather with your pro-life groups, and to help inspire you in the pro-life cause. And finally, we ask you to donate so that we can keep these programs on the air. You can send your tax-deductible contributions to us at Gospel of Life Ministries. Again, go to our website, and thank you.